Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
So please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you. Lord, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 11 through 12. And let me get your attention right up here on the screen. If you have your cell phones or fax machines or scanners or whatever, put them on the silent or off position. Amen. Here we go. I've entitled this morning's message, God is on our side. How many believe that God's on your side? You know, some people have a misunderstanding that God's up there with a big old giant bat waiting for you to mess up. And go, clock. No, let me just say this. He went through great lengths to save us. Did you know that he had to interrupt your life in order to get your attention? Because none of us were looking for God. I know I wasn't. None of us looked for God. But yet he calls us and he draws us to himself. And one of the things that I found out is that he's madly in love with us. Did you know that God loves you? He'll do anything to help you, to restore you, to bless you, to heal you, to bless your finances, to bless your relationships. Children that may be on drugs and alcohol, he wants to deliver them. Do you know that God is the God of all miracles? Did you know that he wants to part the Red Sea in your life? And many of us have mountains to be moved. And yet we cannot move them on our own. We need God to do something mighty and great in our life. Can I get an amen? Let me just say this. One of the things that's dear to people's heart, it's the closest thing other than their loved ones, is finances. And some people struggle with finances. They don't know how to trust God. I'm here to let you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will what? Direct your path. God will do the miraculous in your life. So are we there at Psalms 5? We're going to read verses 11 through 12. We use the New King James Version here. If you don't have a Bible, I'm going to have the word right here on the screen for us. And here we go. And it reads, but let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy, because you defend them. You check that out? Who defends us? God. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. Let me just pause right there. You are righteous not for self-righteousness. You are righteous because of what God did for you. Because he spilt his blood, he shed his blood, he washed you in the blood. And so now he counts you as righteous. We could stand before a holy God, righteous before God. Thank you, God. Did you know that when you stand before God, you are blameless? Because of the blood. And that's why justification comes in, just as if you never sinned. Look at this, verse 12. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield. How many want the favor of God? Amen. Well, we're going to look into the study. You're going to see how to keep that unique relationship with the Lord and have the favor of God. Praise God. And so, saints, it is seen here in this passage right here in Psalms that God is willing to bless the righteous and also protect them with divine favor. How many of you have been already protected that you know of with divine favor. I've had incidences in my life I should have died. And yet God came to save me and rescue me. How many of you have been rescued? Okay, everyone in here. Oh, so you know. You know what that means, right? And so when the favor of God is upon a person, upon you, upon me, thank you, God, that person will be secured and protected against all oppositions and anti-favor moves of men. You know, there's people that don't want to see you succeed. Did you know that? Did you know there's some people that are envious of you? Did you know that there's some people that will gossip and slander you? And you have said nothing about them. It's a spiritual thing. You know why? Because when you're marked with God, the enemy knows that. So the enemy will whisper in their ear to think negative toward you. It's not about flesh and blood. It's about principalities. It's about spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, saints, the favor of God will come upon everyone that lives in righteousness and will bring many blessings upon them. How many want those blessings to be upon you? Yes. Many of us do. But a man that refuses to please God will be separated from his favor. So we're going to look in the Word of God, those who God uniquely blessed, and then those who chose to rebel against God, and the favor of God was relinquished from them. Lord have mercy. Yes, God will let that person go if they choose to rebel against him. Why? Because he's for us, not against us. But he's also a gentleman. In other words, God won't make you do anything you don't want to do. He'll let you just squander it all if that's what you want to do. And so in this morning's message, saints, we're going to be expounding on three biblical principles of our Christian faith regarding divine favor of God. Let's look at this right here. We're going to look at the description of divine favor. We're going to look at the direction of divine favor. And then we're going to look at the destruction of divine favor. My. So let's break down the first one. The first one is the description of divine favor. And so we can see the divine favor operating. Who can think of a character in the Bible who God had divine favor upon them? David's one of them. Who else? Joseph is one, yes. Who else? Moses, yes. Okay. All yes and yes and yes. But the character that I want to focus on this morning is Daniel. Daniel. Remember he was thrown in the lion's den? Huh? Remember that? And they purposely starved the lions and threw them in. And not one of them came to bite him, eat him, or lick him. Matter of fact, they fell asleep in there with him. Wow. He and all the Israelites were prisoners in Babylon. This was during the Babylonian captivity. Just to give you a synopsis of this, is Israel was so entrenched in idolatry. And they would send prophet after prophet after prophet to warn the nation, turn back to God, turn back to God. But they wouldn't. And even the high priest would turn into idolatry. And so, just like today, where you've got 65 million babies aborted, well, there, they were throwing their babies into the firewood ball. And God said, enough is enough. So once God said it was enough, he sent the Babylonians and brought them into captivity. Conquered Israel, they all went into captivity, and there was one gentleman that was in captivity who God had divine favor on. And that was Daniel. Daniel, why? Because he sought God with his whole heart. He believed God. Look what it says right here in Daniel. In Daniel 1:9. Now God had brought Daniel into what? The favor. and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Listen, he ended up being a prime minister. He became the second man in line. This guy was what? Daniel was going to go to the gallows with all the Israelites because of Haman. Haman's lies. And yet God had favor. He would not flinch when he would open up the window and pray. He was steadfast in prayer. He said, I'm going to pray to my God. I don't care what they do to me. Are you going to still pray to God when the government says you can't pray no more? Thank God for the home church. Because I believe they're going to come a point where they're going to shut down institutions. They're trying to do that now. Right now as we speak. But God will have his final say, amen. And there are so many other accounts that we learned that Daniel had so much favor with the leaders of the land. He was elevated to prestigious positions in the Babylonian kingdom. Even though the circumstances, saints of God, were stacked up against him, Daniel eventually became the prime minister of Babylon. Is that having favor of God? Huh? That's having favor. Let me just say this. When a person is elected by God to carry out his will, God will always have divine favor on that person. Turn to your neighbor and say, you've been called. So if you've been called by God, guess what? There's divine favor on your life. Can I get an amen? Let me just say this. God will not allow anything to happen to you because he's going to carry out his will using your life. That's the assurance we could take. That's the assurance that when we wake up, listen, I'm in an industry right now where the market has been stagnant for almost going on 3.5 years. You know, I don't like to get political, but there is a political rift in our country. It's split in half. But when Trump was in office in 2016, the interest rates were only 3%. People were buying homes. People were refinancing. And then when Biden came in, it went from 3% to 9%, and everyone put the brakes on, and no houses are selling. Why? Who's going to leave their 3% to go to a 9? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out, does it? And so, yet God still has divine favor on Yolanda and I, even though that income has come to a halt. God is still supplying our needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You'll never hear us beg for bread, beg for money. No, we don't do that. We trust in the Lord. We trust in God. We get on our knees and we cry out. Say, God, we need this, God. Lord, we need things for the church. We need paper towels. We need all this. Pastor R was praying for that today. We need all the things for the Sunday school. We need all. It costs money. But yet, we don't go to nobody and say, hey, can you give toward that? Can you get? No. You know what? We trust that people will give unto the Lord their tithes and offerings. That's it. And we don't harp on it. We trust God with that. Hallelujah. And there's nothing else we're going to say about that other than we just trust God. And God does it. God does it. And God uses you and he blesses your hands. Hallelujah. We serve Almighty God. Come on, let's just take time out and give him a shout of praise. And that's how it should be. You go to a church and they're asking 2, 3, 5, 6, 7 offerings. Leave and run. Run, Forrest, run. My goodness. My goodness. I've been there, done that. I'm not, no. Then they'll have someone go count the offer. They didn't give enough. Go back there again. And go fleece them. It's called fleecing the flock. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. You know, I learned from a wonderful pastor, Pastor Leo Giovanetti at Mission Valley Christian Fellowship, who was my pastor for 13 years. And he taught us, man, you trust in God. Trust in God. Don't be a beggar. God will watch. He'll take care of your needs. And you know what? Since we've modeled that, God has done just that. Hallelujah. Every time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And so there was another person. Okay, so I heard names being thrown out. I heard Moses. I heard, who else? Joseph. Can you think of someone else? In this particular book, the Lord's not even mentioned in that book. Now I'm giving you a tidbit now. Esther. Let's go to Esther chapter 2. Look at this. Esther chapter 2 verses 15 through 17. Look at this. Now when the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter to go into the king, she requested nothing but what Haggai, the king's eunuch, the custodian of the women, advised, that Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. Favor. Why? Because she trusted in God. She was the one that stopped the enemies from destroying all of Israel. Esther. She was a mighty woman of God. But there was divine favor on her. Look at verse 16. So Esther was taken to King... Who can pronounce that name? Ahasuerus. Okay. That name. Into his royal palace. Ahasuerus. There you go. In the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth. In the 7th year of his reign. The king loved Esther more than all the other women. And she obtained grace and favor. Where? In his sight. More than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Wow. Hallelujah. Did you know that God has highly favor upon you? No differently. All these patriarchs of the old, of the Old Testament, God looks at you no differently. Can I get amen? Because he loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really loves you. Praise God. Praise God. And so, she had favor. She had favor. Now, there was someone else that had favor. Who was the other person? I heard someone say there was... Moses. Who else? Abraham. Joseph. What about King David? Who said David? You said David, huh? Oh, there you go. All right. So King David was the most unqualified person naturally in his family. He was the little rut. Well, what good thing could come out of National City, right? What good thing could come out of Nazareth? But you know what? God rejected all his others. Man, how about his oldest brother, the man of war? Samuel came to him. There's so much fear in you. He went down the line. And then he told Jesse, is this all you have? And he was hiding David were in the fields. Why have you lied to me? Bring him here. So they brought the little kid running. And as soon as Samuel touched him, that was it. He saw the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he would be the next king of Israel. This little kid named David. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Look how this story went right here. It's found in 1 Samuel 16. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Look at this. He said, there remains yet the youngest. And there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will sit not down until he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was a ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You know, I come from 11 brothers and sisters. I don't know why God chose me. I was the run. I was in the middle of them. Then he said, you're the one I'm going to use in your family. I said, oh my gosh. And then when I got saved, they all turned on me. They said, man, who is this crazy guy? But you know, I'll tell you what the highlight of my immediate family, I'll tell you what the highlight was when my dad got saved. For years, I was attending Mission Valley. For years, I would always go to my dad's house. Dad, come visit our church, Dad. Placido, you got your religion. I got mine. You know, my dad's Filipino, so he had that accent, you know. And he would, it was a no-go for him. And then Pastor Leo, out of the blues, asked me to teach for him on a Wednesday night at the United Methodist Church right there across from Sayles. You know where Sayles Restaurant used to be? Well, right across the street, there's a big old giant church called United Methodist Church. We rented that on Wednesday nights. And so about 500 attended Wednesday nights. We had 3,000 members. And Pastor Leo's out of town, and he asked me to teach. So my brother Dale went to my dad's and said, Dad, come on. Fee's going to speak for the first time. Come on out. Oh, no. You go ahead. And my brother Dale wasn't going to leave until my dad got in the car. So I didn't know what took place. All I knew was that I went behind the pulpit for the first time, and I looked into the congregation, and it was like a deer with his eyes caught in the headlights. I was so frightened. But yet, I delivered my very first message, and I gave an altar call. And all I saw was people coming to the altar weeping. They were crying. And I looked way in the back. And I had to do one of these. It was my brother walking down the aisle with my dad. And man, I beelined. I jumped off the stage, and I went through the altar, and I went through the crowd, and I went up the aisle, and I ran to my dad, and my dad had tears flowing down his face. I go, Dad, I'm so glad you're here. I go, what can I pray for? And this is what he said, Placido, I want to get saved. Oh. My goodness. That same week, we baptized him in our jacuzzi. And then he sat there where Yolanda's sitting right there at our home fellowship. He sat there every Friday night. He was sitting there. He was so happy to be there. He just opened up his Bible. He couldn't wait till church started. And then Sunday morning, he was sitting in the front. He was 80 years old when he got baptized. God allowed him to live another 16 years. He died at 96. But he died, hallelujah, knowing who he was. Thank you, God. He was so in love with Jesus. Oh my God. That's going to be my highlight with my family. Whether my brothers and sisters get saved or not, a couple of them are walking. But he gave his heart. And never give up on your loved ones. Listen. Never give up on your loved ones. God has a plan for them. If he saved my dad at 80, he will save your mom and your dad, your cousin, your uncle, your friend. Come on. Yes, he will. You got to believe God. You got to believe God. Look at verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. From that day on, the day God saved you, from that day on, you're his forevermore. Thank you, God. Okay, there's another character that got blessed. This one's going to be hard to remember this one. But I remember we did a study. Pastor Leo did a study. How many heard of Jabez? You know your word, sister. Enlarge my territory. That's right. Let's go to First Chronicles. Some of you probably haven't been there. Pages are probably still stuck together. First Chronicles, chapter 4. Look at 9 and 10. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called him Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Wow. Wow. What's been your request? What has God done for you? Have you gone to God and asked God? Or are you looking at it through natural eyes? If you're looking at what you see, forget about it. You need to look at it of what you hope for in Christ, that God will deliver you, God will help you, God will bless you. How many believe that God will bless anything, any predicament in your life? Amen. Yes, he'll fight your battle and destroy your enemies. Can I get amen? Now, here's another character. We have to really look at this guy. Because at one time, he was killing the Christians. He was Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus. Called by God to do a great work when he was not even thinking about God. Did you know he was the attorney of the day? He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was the rabbi of all rabbis. He was the attorney of the day. He was everything you could have won in a court of law during that time. And yet God still said, I'm going to use him. Listen, this guy would go get edicts. And he was the original drive-by. He'd go and invade your home as a Christian and pull you and drag you out and feed you to the lions or burn you at the stake. What? God called him when he was doomed for destruction. He should have been destroyed for all he did. How about us? How about me? I'm talking about me. When the custodian led me to the Lord at the age of 30, I'm 67 now. Custodian led me to the Lord. I had $500 of crystal in my sock. I was like what G would say. I was toe up when the flow up. I had every vice there was addicted to. And God set me free. Bam! Just like that. Hallelujah. Amen. Why? Because he had a plan. There was a call in my life and I had no clue. All I knew is that he set me free. And many of us have similar testimonies. Many of us, God has touched your life supernaturally and has blessed your life. We serve a mighty, mighty God, don't we? And he's worthy. Worthy to be praised. Let's look at Saul of Tarsus before he became the greatest apostle to ever live, which was Paul the Apostle. So turn with me to Acts 9. Acts chapter 9. And let's look at this right here. I got it on the screen in case you don't have it. Then Saul still breathing threats. He was breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He was killing God's people. Just killing them. Look at this. So then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way. Okay, who is the way? That was the church of the living God at the time. It was an orderly way. It was the way. It wasn't that. It was called the way. Amen. That was the name of the born-again church back then. Whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Look at this. And he journeyed, and he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone from heaven. In other words, he was on his way to Damascus to tell the edicts there, we're going here to round up more Christians and kill them. And look how this story played out. Look at verse 4. Then he fell to the ground after that light shone from heaven. And he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want to do? What do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Look at this in verse 7. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there for how many days? 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. Look at verse 11. It says, so the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for the one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he was praying. Listen, let me just say this. If a light shone from heaven, knocked you off your horse, and you couldn't see no more, how many would you start praying? You'd be like this. Oh God, help me. I can't see no more. Man, you would hit those knees. Can I get an amen? You would fall on your face. And so Ananias was told to go to that, because there was a one named Saul of Tarsus, and he's praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias said, Lord, wait a minute, Lord. He's going, wait a minute, Lord. I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. In other words, I don't want to get close to this guy. He might kill me. Look at verse 14. And here, he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen what? Vessel of mine, to bear my name before the Gentile kings and the children of Israel. Let me just pause right there. When I read that many times in the past, I had to look at my life. I had to look at my own life. You know why? Because God had to set me free. Just like what he was about to do with Saul. Saul was bound up. He was confused in life. He didn't have true direction. And God had to intervene and interrupt his life to redirect his divine favor he had for him. And this is what he's done for us. He had to redirect our life so that he can place his divine favor upon us. Can I get amen? How many of you believe, feel that you have divine favor from God? Hold on to that faith. Don't ever let the enemy lie to you. There's divine favor from God upon your life, and he wants to bless your life. Look at this. It says in verse 16, I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. Wow. Look at this. Look at verse 18. Immediately, there they fell from his eyes, something like scales. In other words, that thing that had him blind, it just slipped off his eyes. And he received his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. He didn't have to go to a baptism class. He didn't have to think about it. He arose and immediately got baptized. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Look at that. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Wow. That was divine favor. Praise God. Now, we're going to shift a little direction here, and we're going to look at direction of divine favor. And so there are many ways that God can guide you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
If your heart and life are centered on God, His Word, and His Holy Spirit, you can rest assured, saints of God, that He will direct your path. God's primary reason means given us guidance in the Bible. Look what, how many remember what Jesus told Nicodemus? Nick at night. Remember Nick at night? He had to sneak out at night. Why? Because Nicodemus didn't want to be seen talking to Jesus. Because he didn't want his peers to know that I'm going to speak to this man. It's like those who hate Trump. They really want to go talk to him. Look at this. Look at John 3:5. Look at this. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Did you catch that? Born of the water and of the Spirit? You know what that statement alone, that scripture right there, it separates religion and establishes relationship. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Because when you're born again, you have entered now into a covenant relationship with the Lord. Now you're His and He is yours. Praise God. Did you know? Who has a Bible on their lap? Lift it up in the air. Lift up your Bible. You see those Bibles? That Bible right there will keep you from sin. But sin will keep you from that Bible. If you're not reading your Bible, you're going to find yourself falling into things that are possibly sinful. Can I get amen? But when you're in your Word, man, you start learning about the things that God loves and say, you know what? Man, I want to do it God's way. Did you know that God's way are better? Huh? It's better. Come on. Come on. A lot of us can say yes and amen. Because we've done it our way. Many of us in here have had Burger King lives. Having it our way. Come on, haven't we? We've had it our way. And then until we tried God. And now that God is the head of our life, now, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Now we can do it in a proper way on serving Him, loving Him. And guess what? You'll learn to love and serve one another the way God wants us, with love and kindness. You know, there's some people that will lash at you with their tongue. And they have no compassion, no kindness. But you don't have to be that way. Can I get an amen? I just let that slip off. Ask Sister Yolanda. We just let things slip off. We don't engage. When there's someone that, we just, you know what? Let it slip off. Have Teflon faith. Let it slip off. You know, like an egg that slips off a Teflon? Just let it slip off. Don't engage. Don't lash back. Why? Because that's what the enemy wants. It wants you to be entangled. So the Bible is our rule book of faith and practice. If we know and understand the scripture, saints, we will be well on our way to having His guidance. How many want to be guided by God? Okay, then open them up and read it. He never guides His people contrary to the clear principles of the written word. Guidance comes from a knowledge of God Himself. We need to know what pleases Him and what displeases God. Why? Because there's no substitute for walking with God, sharing with Him, and talking to Him daily. Sister Tammy, did she have to leave? She had to leave early. Yeah. One of the things, I love what she says. She goes, every morning, like 3, 4 in the morning, she likes to jump on Jesus' lap. Yes. Angel's a witness to that. Oh, yeah. She got a prayer life. You need a prayer warrior partner? Call upon Tammy. She'll pray with you. And Sister Vera, too.
No, I said I had her when we went to Israel.
Yes. She got up at 3 o'clock. And guess who was praying out there with her? And she...
Rabbi
Jonathan Kahn.
In the desert.
In the desert. When we were in the desert. I pray one day that God will have divine favor on all of us and we could all go to Israel. You guys would love it. Oh my gosh. You guys would love it. You guys would go, man... I want to come back. When we first went, you know that song, I Left My Heart in San Francisco? We left our heart in Jerusalem. We love that place. We love the people. And it's nothing like you think it is. Those skirmishes that you see on TV, the distance from where we are, or where we fellowship with and all that, it's like at least 500 miles away. It's like the border of Arizona. You know where the border of Arizona is? That's how far away it is. That's how far away. Israel is really secure. And so we're mighty thankful. But listen to this, saints. One of the problems is that an unregenerated heart will find it difficult to follow the direction of divine favor. What does unregenerated heart mean? That means someone that's not born again. That's someone that opens the Bible, they'll read every now and then, but they don't have that relationship with God. They never entered into a blood covenant with God through the shedding of His blood. They've never been washed in the blood. They never received the Holy Spirit. So when they read the Bible, it's just like, I don't know what that means. Well, the Word of God tells us, look at this, in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Meaning, if you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you, it's going to be hard to understand that the Word of God. It's like a puzzle to you. But when you're born again, have the Spirit of God, man, it just leaps out at you. And it becomes food to your soul. Now look what Paul wrote. Paul the Apostle wrote to the Roman church, look at this, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Meaning the natural man fights against God for years and years and years and years until that moment I shared with you. My dad would never come to church. Why? Because he was carnally minded. He didn't have the Spirit of God in him. He was very religious. He was made up in his... He had his own mind made up. Until God got a hold of him that evening. And did the supernatural. Only God could do that. And so, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are in the, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Isn't that something? You know what? I'm glad God said it and not me. I don't want you guys to throw tomatoes at me. God said that. And so, now, we're coming in for a close. We're going to look at our third principle. And that's called destruction of divine favor. When you read throughout the whole entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, you'll see what some people did that attacked the favor of God upon their lives. And what others did that separated them from the divine favor of God. One of the greatest factors that will destroy the divine favor of God is a person's life. And it's this right up here. Look at this. Disobedience. Let me ask this question. When you're in elementary school, they call it middle school now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's middle school now. But for me, I was at Las Palmas Elementary. I went to Las Palmas Elementary. I went to Granger Junior High. And then I went to Sweetwater. Okay? So I'm an old National City guy. Yes. And so I was the kind that had to stay after school. Detention? Why? Because I always wanted to be the clown class in there. Just talk. Wouldn't shut up. You know, always be told, hey, you need to be quiet. I was disobedient, right? So when it came for any favor, I had no divine favor from my teacher. I'd get a D minus. There was no grace on the test. Why? Because I fell out of favor. Oh, but I saw the kids that I knew that I thought I was smarter, and they got B's and A's. Why? But they kept their mouth shut. They obeyed the teacher. And so that's how it works, doesn't it? You obey, you're going to have favor. Well, guess what? When you obey God, you'll have divine favor. But there's disobedience. Who can you think of right now that disobeyed God? You hit it right on the money. King Saul's walk of disobedience. King Saul, listen. The last war before Samuel had to pay King Saul a visit, Samuel was the prophet. He was instructed, go destroy the Amalekites and do not take any of their gold, their food, their women, their animals. Wipe them all out because these were blood drinkers. They were like so abominable to God. God wanted that whole people destroyed because of what they did, because of their gross, grotesque way of living. They would kill children. They would eat each other. A lot of them were cannibals. They were everything you could imagine that was against the will of God. God told Saul, destroy them all. But what did Saul do? He brought back their best sheep. He brought some of their women. He brought their gold. And so Saul was rejoicing and was lifting himself up. Oh, we destroyed this enemy of ours that we've warred against for many years. We finally beat him. And then here comes a knock on the door. Who came to visit him? Samuel the prophet, didn't he? Listen, the last thing you want is a prophet showing up at your door. I'm telling you. Let me just say this. I'll share it again. God had to send me two prophets. He had to send me two prophets. I was attending North Park Apostolic Church. And I was divorced. Had my mind somewhere else though. Young in the Lord. All the single men had to sit in the front. Pastor Art remembers, we all came from the same church, huh, brother? All the single brothers had to sit in the front. They didn't want us sitting in the middle or in the back, or we were just like scamming. Checking it out. Checking out the sisters that were coming in, huh? Yeah, come on. Let's get real here. So every now and then, I would turn around, and there was a sister looking right at me. You know, I caught eye with her, and okay. It would happen more and more. Then the smile. You know, I smiled back, you know. Then we had a softball game on a Saturday. And then she came up to the bench. And she goes, "How you doing, Brother Fee?" "Oh, I'm doing good, Sister Angie. I'm doing good." And we just started talking. We started talking about food. She goes, "What do you like?" I'll go, "Oh, I love a lot of things, but I love seafood." I go, "Hey, have you ever had langosta, really good lobster from down in Mexico, Puerto Nuevo?" "Oh, no, brother, I never." I go, "Let's go have lunch down there." "All right, yeah, let's do it." So we said, "Okay, let's do it. Let's do it next Saturday." So we made a plan to go. That morning, I get a phone call. It was my home fellowship leader, Sister Elisa Calvani. "Brother Fee, where are you going?" I go, "Why do you ask?" She goes, "I was just in prayer right now, and God's saying, wherever you're going, please don't go." I said, "What are you talking about?" And, you know, I was looking around. "Man, is there a camera in here?" And I said, "Well, thank you for the call, sister. I appreciate that. And, yeah, you know, I'll thank you." And I just wanted to get off the phone. Bam, I hung up. I said, "Man, how dare her?" So I just ignored her. So I was putting on the foo-foo juice, you know, just putting on everything, man. You know, I still had a little hair back then, so I was, you know, doing this. And I was about ready to open my front door. A knock. Right on the other side of the door. I opened the door. It was Brother Ernie Gonzalez. You know him too. He goes, "Brother Fee, where are you going right now?" I go, "Why, Brother Ernie?" He goes, "I was in prayer right now. And God said, wherever you're going, don't go." I gave him a hug and everything, and I closed the door. And I had to call up and cancel. You know what God was saving me from? Because 2 months later, she got pregnant with someone else in the church. We were going to fall in sin. It wasn't just going to be a lobster dinner. Let me just say this. God will send a prophet, maybe even two prophets, to forewarn you. Can I get amen? Amen? Listen, if there's a call in your life, and if God wants you on that straight and narrow, He's going to make sure that you don't fumble the ball. Can I get amen? Amen. Amen. That's God Almighty. That's God's grace. That's His mercy. You know, I was looking at like a bummer day, but now I look back to look ahead. I go, God, you saved my bacon. Oh, I wouldn't be here today. Oh, no, no. The whole thing would have just went sideways. This, the divine road has led me here to preach to you, to teach you, to raise you guys up so that you guys will grow and tag someone in, and then you guys will pass it on. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. This is how much God loves us. I want you to know God loves you. He'll do whatever it takes to keep you from harm. Because He loves you. That's how much He loves me. And He loves you no differently. But He had to go until Samuel had to go. Look at this right up here. In 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He also has rejected you from being king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in your words, because I feared the people and obeyed the voice. Look at verse 25. Now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. Wow. Because he disobeyed. Just imagine if I disobeyed. In my heart, I wanted to. It was like, no. But I could not come against two people that didn't know where I was going, but God told him, tell him not to go wherever he's going. And they did it out of obedience to God to call me. And especially Ernie to come over to visit me. They did it because they loved me. And so one last guy, and then we'll close. Who's the one last guy that had it all? I'll give you a tidbit. He had a lust for women. Samson. It was Samson's thirst for lust. He was unsatisfied. You find that in Judges 16:18. Look at that. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart. So here was the thing with Samson. The reason why he had supernatural strength, the power was in his hair. And God said, the moment you cut that hair, you're going to cut the anointing off you. And so Delilah would try to peer it out of him. What is your secret? What is your secret? And he wouldn't tell her. And then finally, man, she got to him. My strength is in my locks. So they both fell to sleep together in lust, in bed. She woke up and snipped it. And then she called for the Philistines. And they came in and they captured him. And they gouged out his eyes. Because he was rebellious. He didn't listen. There's some things you want to say and some things you don't say to people. Look at this. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart and said and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in her hand. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him and his strength left him. Look at verse 20. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before. And other times and shake myself free. But he did not know the Lord had departed from him. He thought he could just go out there and just kill them all like he did. He couldn't even lift up a little puppy dog. His strength was gone. So saints, God's divine favor can bring a lot of blessings upon each and every one of us. And divine favor. What does divine favor produce? It produces this. Number one, it produces supernatural promotion and increase. When you have the favor of God, he will bless you. If you draw close to him, some people are looking for jobs. Some people need finances. Some people need help. You know what the key to that is? Just draw close to him. And watch him open up doors that you cannot open. He'll make a way like there seems no way. You'll have divine favor from him. Look at this. He'll bring restoration of everything the enemy has stolen. What has the enemy stolen from you? Some of you have kids, grandkids on drugs and alcohol. Some of you have family members that have gone astray. We prayed for the backsliders this morning, didn't we? God will bring them back if you cry out for them. Look at this. God will bring honor in the midst of the adversaries. He will. He'll bring honor. God will put you on parade in front of your enemies. But let God do it. Can I get an amen? Look at what he'll do. He'll increase assets. Increased assets. Oh, yes. Every aspect of your life, he'll increase it. Look at this. Number five, he'll give great and unusual victories even against impossible odds. What's impossible right now in your life? What's too hard for God right now? God's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Look at number six. God will give recognition and promotion even to when you seem to be the least likely one to receive it. Some of us walk around, oh, woe is me, woe is me. No, God wants to bless your life. God wants to give us what we don't deserve. Because he loves us that much. Look at this. He'll produce prominence and preferential treatment. He'll favor you in front of others. Can I get an amen? Oh, that's right. That's the mind of God we serve. Thank you, God. Look at number eight. Your petitions, they get granted even by ungodly civil authority. Some of you have gone to court of laws and have not gotten what you wanted to hear. But I'm here to let you know, God is not done yet. Can I get an amen? Amen. He's not done. Right. It doesn't matter what man says. It's what God says. Right. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Don't ever believe what some people, even a doctor, when he tells you, well, it looks like you got 6 months. No, you got 6 months to renew your license, doctor. I'm going to live. Can I get amen? Amen? Look at number nine. God will allow you to win battles you did not even have to fight. Why? Because God will fight them for you. How many want God to fight your battles? Thank you, God. Listen, before I close, let's take this to the Lord right now. I want you guys to just pray with me right now. Father, help us through this life that we are going through right now, God. Lord, help us, Lord. Supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory, O God. Lord, help us through the struggles of life. I'm praying right now for those who are seeking jobs that need income right now. O God, open up the heavens, the windows of heavens, and pour out a blessing they cannot contain. God, I pray for supernatural abundance. I pray for those whose kids, whose family members are on drugs and alcohol right now, that you would bind the strong man and deliver them, O God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, destroy the spirit of alcohol and drugs. Oh, hallelujah. Pornography in their life. Anything, Lord, that's contrary to the Word of God. Lord, destroy it now in the name of Jesus. Give them life where there looks like there's death in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, for healing to bodies that need healing right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, pour out your spirit, God. Pour out your power. Pour out your amazing grace, God, upon us right now. And I'm looking right now to those who are on Facebook and YouTube. Maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family right here that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too can receive the free gift of salvation and that God will deliver you. God will free you. I know many of you that have logged on need a blessing right now. Well, God is the God that will bless you. God's the one that will supernaturally touch you. God's the one that will lift you up and set you free. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so if that's you, pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Come on, is he worthy? Woo!
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.